Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is August 20th. The time is 6:31. I have TID Chairman Michael France. I would ask him to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
thank you, Michael. Nice of you to make it. I also want to welcome Stan Risen, our interim CEO, who's sitting up here for the first time. So everyone be nice to him today.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to public comment. Opportunity for anyone to speak on any item that is not on today's posted agenda. I have three speaker cards. The first one is wrong pile. What did I just do with these? Terribly embarrassing. What did I do with them? They're there. Underneath here. Got them. Okay, first one up is Luana Gadberry. Good evening.
I don't think there's anything that I can say that hasn't already been said about our livable wage, which is just barely above poverty level. I do want to tell you that we're kind of burnt out, tired of coming here and throwing our testimonials in your laps and hoping you do something with them, like consider them. I don't know what it's going to take to convince you that we're a very strong population in this county. We shop at your local stores, we pay our taxes, and we try to go to the entertainment that they have to offer in the city. But all that is at a very low priority in our life because we're too busy trying to struggle to keep our heads above water. I don't know what it's going to take. I always have dreams thinking that you guys just don't really care about us, you know. We're fighting a losing battle. I hope that's not the case. Please, give us a livable wage. Put people first, please. Thank you.
Lynn, I just want to tell you that we do care about you, and I know I just got a report, and I know that there's still good faith bargaining going on between your unit and the county. I just wanted to pass that on. Okay. Next up, Terry Walker Dampier.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Terry Walker Dampier. I'm with United Domestic Workers. I'm an advocacy in the county. I love people. I love you guys. I am praying every day. I'm just wanting to let you know that just standing here along with my other co-workers and home care providers, not stating that you probably don't want to give us a raise and not concerned about us, but you know, I want to ask a question. Is there anything that we can do for you guys sometimes? I know we're always here asking for you guys to do for us. But I'm the type of person, I like to know what can I do for someone. And in return, if I forget about myself, I know my Heavenly Father is going to take care of me and all of us. You know, and I'm not just here just to make a plea or whatever. You know, my coworkers, they always ask me, speak. But really, I don't think they really want me. Nobody really wants me to speak because what I speak about is what I read about every day. We say one nation under God. I mean, you know that when they talked about let's go to Sacramento and lobby for this first choice money to put in our county, you know, I was happy to do that. But I didn't see any of you guys, and I'm sure we all got a life. You guys didn't go out with us to, you know, to do it. And I don't know if you even told us thank you. I don't know, you know, so I'm not trying to accuse of anything. But all I'm saying that if we're going to be workers one to another, just, you know, give us a little bit. It's been 2009, you know, the gas has went up. I'm from Mississippi. I can go back there and I can probably live real cheap, you know. I really could. But I would like to stay here in this town because, you know, I care about taking care of the elderly. I care about taking care of the disabled and the blind. I care about, you know, I sit on the board with Stanislaus County to in my community where if children is on their way to Child Protective Services, I'm there in between that family to try not to let those kids get out of their community. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I do. And I do, and before I came here today, Tuesdays and Fridays, I set aside, pushed the table away. It might not look like it with the size I am, but I pushed that table away and I pray. I pray for my officials of Stanislaus County. So I'm just asking you guys just to put people first and to know that, you know, we went there and we got that money, and not just on our own, but others was there too, and we put it here, and we want to be able to help spend that money a little bit. So we're not asking for a lot. You know, $9.38 an hour. I'm 53 years old. Making $9.38 an hour. Sure, people probably say, well, go get you another job. But my love is doing what I'm doing. And I do know that, you know, you guys have a heart. And I'm just waiting to reap the benefits of what's going to happen here in Stanislaus County. So you guys have a blessed night. And remember, if nobody else is thinking about you guys and nobody else is praying for this city, Terry Walker Dampier's doing it. God bless.
Hey, thank you for those comments. Very nice comments. Okay, next up, I think it's Kim Spielman. Spiderman. I just don't see the T there.
Yeah, I have to get used to when I got married, too.
Thanks.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Very good.
Okay. I'm short, so I'm trying. Anyhow, hello, I'm Kimberly Spiderman. As I reiterated what my coworkers were saying, we obviously want a livable wage. $9.38, that's not enough. Minimum wage is, I don't know when it goes up. I'm unfamiliar with that. But are we going to stay at that $9.38? Obviously, we should be compensated for what we do, taking care of our children, our caregiver. It's hard work. You know, instead of getting a job outside, I have to take care, from my perspective, my disabled child who has various illnesses. And it's tough work. Of course, I'm still going to take care of my child regardless. I have two wonderful children, but if I was able to make more money, by golly, I would. I went to school. My major is business management. I'm unable to do it. I went to years of schooling, Stan State, and I'm from San Diego State. I went to San Diego State for a couple of years, so that's been on a back burner because I'm taking care of my disabled son. The point of all this is I choose to stay at home, love my children dearly, but we're not asking for a lot. Just, you know, enough for us to do what we need to do. I mean, there's not much entertainment that, you know, it's to pay our bills. You know, that's what we're asking, and if you guys can speed it along and let's bargain and come up with something. And, you know, like one of the coworkers said, 2009 was the last time. That's 4 or 5 years now. Thank you so much for listening. Have a pleasant day.
Thank you, Kim. Those are the only three speaker cards I have. Would anyone else like to come up and comment on anything that's not on today's posted agenda? Okay, seeing none, I will move on to the consent calendar. The consent calendar are those items marked with an asterisk, items A1 through 3, B1 through 5. Would any supervisor like to pull any items? Would anyone in the audience like to pull any items? Okay, seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
So moved, Supervisor Monteith.
Second that.
Second, Supervisor Withrow. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item B6, approval to accept the 2013 annual public health report to the Board of Supervisors. Health Service Agency, Dr. Walker. Oh, before I go on, I'm sorry, I'm going to turn the mic over to Supervisor Whitzer for just one moment.
Just 1 second. I know this is out of order.
It's not out of order. I was out of order.
No, you're not out of order. Yeah, I just want to add, my son is here tonight, and he's back from Pakistan, from Karachi, Pakistan. And we don't get him here very often, and he does scary stuff, and special agent with the State Department. And Michael, do stand up for a second here if you could. And I just want to thank you for everything that you do. It allows all of us to be here and do what we do. And your mom and I love you and are very proud of you. And I'm sorry, his wife is here too, Lindsay. I better do that. Lindsay is with him too.
Welcome to the house. Thank you. And there's another prayer, not only praying for us, but for your safety too. And that's tough work. So thank you. Dr. Walker.
Good evening. John Walker, Stanislaus County Public Health Officer. And with me tonight is Esmeralda Gonzalez, our Chronic Diseases and Injury Manager and proud graduate of Patterson High. I'd also like to introduce Dr. Sharon Hutchins here behind us, who is one of our epidemiologists and a member of our Brain Trust. Who has, with her colleague, been a key contributor to the efforts that we're presenting to you. And I have to acknowledge a special guest here tonight, Cleopatia Elmore.
Hello.
Who has returned as our interim associate director. Next slide, please. Health begins where people work, live, learn, and play. And that's really the theme of what we're going to share with you tonight, that health is not about what happens at the doctor's office or in the clinic or in the hospital. It's really where we work, live, play, and learn. Next, please. You've seen this busy slide before. It's my favorite slide. And tonight, what I want you to do is put a parenthesis around health and just look at it as the health system and look at all of the stakeholders within that health system. They all contribute, including you, Sheriff. I see you back there. The work that is done in public safety protects the health. Next, please. What we want to share with you tonight is a 10-year initiative. It's a national initiative called Healthy People 2020. It's the third cycle. There was Healthy People 2000, Healthy People 2010. But Healthy People 2020 is different. And we were really fortunate to get a head start through Clea Moore and some of her work beginning in 2002 on preparing for Healthy People 2020, which looks really at the broad determinants of health. Next, please. On a national level, this initiative, more than just Health and Human Services, more than just CDC, was multiple agencies, the Mental Health Agency, the Agency on Aging, a U.S. Department of Agriculture, a U.S. Department of Education, and many other entities at the federal level, and the intent is to do so at the state level and the local level. Next. So achieving the mission of public health and community transformation and Healthy People 2020 requires partnerships, assessment of the community, identify priority areas, develop evidence-based plans, and then look at population-based. And I really want to emphasize that what we do is for all 519,000 residents of this county. So we're looking at not just public health, but private health. We're looking at public-private partnerships to promote the well-being of all people in our community. Next, please. So as we look at broad determinants of health, Within the context of what we are doing here in this county, we have four areas of focus: access to health information and health care, education, basic needs such as food, employment, housing, and then the built environment. Next, please. Now, the framework for thriving Stanislaus may be a new word to you, but actually a couple of years ago when we presented to you, we talked about our community health improvement plan. Well, why did we change it? And frankly, it was our stakeholders, our partners, some of our non-traditional partners who said, you know, you're helping us to work on this project, but we're not in the health business. And we really took a step back and listened to our partners and renamed our 10-year initiative, the Framework for a Thriving Stanislaus, next. So we do have an executive team that is interdisciplinary. We may have some members in the audience tonight. If you're here, please stand and introduce yourself. In addition, we have representatives of the Stanislaus County Office of Education, the Children and Families Commission, the United Way of Stanislaus, the Stanislaus Health Foundation, as well as a nonprofit, Teach to Fish. Next, please. What we are seeking to do is to align the many projects in this county of people who really care. And so as earlier this year, our agency director, Mary Ann Lee, said to me, you know, Supervisor Chiesa's State of the County call to action is really a part of the framework because it really talks about alignment. So we had a meeting of our stakeholders in April, and we wanted him to be our keynote speaker. However, he had a CSAC commitment, so we went to him and talked to him about this initiative. And I need to tell you, it's moving along. Next, please. I do want to quickly review the Healthy People 2020 targets in the four areas. The health targets are residents with health insurance to improve by 20%, correction, 15%, primary care physicians per 100,000 residents, a 10% increase, providers per 1,000 residents, a 12.5% increase. In education, and education is really important for the improvement of health outcomes. Third grade students scoring proficient in reading, 41%. I know it's ambitious, but our colleagues in education say go for it. Four-year high school graduation rate, a 10% increase. Teen birth rate, a decrease of 25%. And I will share that teen pregnancy has unfortunately been a detractor from graduation rates. Basic needs. Working age adults in poverty who are to decrease the percentage of adults in poverty who are food insecure, a 20% decrease. Children needing child care services for whom licensed child care is available, 21% increase. And residents living in poverty, a 20% decrease. And then fourthly, in the built environment, workers who walk to work. We're ambitious here, 100% increase, and really this is a goal for more active transportation as part of this initiative. And then residents who live greater than 5 miles from outlet of healthy foods, a 44% decrease. These are our targets, and Esmeralda is going to share some examples of these initiatives. Esmeralda.
Good evening. Well, some of the things we've been doing, again, in alignment with the framework, we have several key partners. West Modesto King County Neighborhood Collaborative, as you may know, has been working on establishing the Helen White Memorial Walking Trail. I'm pleased to announce that groundbreaking event will occur on October 22nd at 3:30, so we're really excited about that. Expect More Snowfalls, one of their initiatives, includes a mentoring program for students. This is one of four initiatives, and I believe Keith Boggs was one of the persons who spearheaded that. Stanislaus Literacy Program, Adult Literacy and GE Preparation, has also embarked on this endeavor. Local churches, several local churches have started community gardens to improve increased access to healthy foods. They also have been promoting some healthy messages. I know there's 11 congregations that are actually participating in Body and Soul Faithfully Fit wellness campaigns. The Cities of Modesto series in Sherlock also, they were able to apply and receive some safe route to school funding that are primarily for infrastructure improvement grants. They've also been updating their general plans to better support health and well-being. The school districts, several local school districts are working on revising their local school wellness plans to include the USDA guidelines as well as CDC physical activity guidelines. Safe routes to school as well, providing education in the school settings. They're really looking at joint use agreement to open up school facilities for community usage. Again, providing a safe place for families to go and do some physical activity. The Community Transformation Grant was funded by CDC, the Health Services Agency, received a capacity building grant, and really the goal of this grant is to create a healthier community and making healthy living easy. This really is a huge initiative which we embarked on, really trying to create long-term infrastructure and systems change to improve the lives of Stanislaus County residents. Continuous collaboration. Here's a picture of the event that the workshop that Dr. Walker mentioned back in April. Again, it's real important that we maximize our efforts and work collaboratively to create a greater positive impact in our community.
And that completes our report to you. We're open to any questions and comments from the board.
Okay, any questions of Dr. Walker? I have to talk, you know, we've had this great conversation regarding my state of the county, and we talked about a lot of things, and you talk about capacity building in our community, because we're not, people expect government to bail them out from everything, and government can't be everything to all people, and I've said that many times. But talk about your capacity building, or how you're going to build capacity for people to help themselves. We talked about that. Do you have any? Have you gone over that?
I need to call Dr. Hutchins to share some of the work that's been in that regard.
Gentlemen of the board. Yes, building capacity of the community, of people to take care of themselves and their families is a major priority for us. So part of the community capacity building grant involves bringing in training, and we've had community partners and members of the public participate in that. And in addition to that, as part of the framework, we're really looking to initiatives that are organically grown out of the community that we can support. So as, you know, Health Services Agency, for example, we can provide technical assistance with data or, you know, expert level assistance, but people still need to be doing those activities, and we are here to support them. But as you say, we can't necessarily do it for them. And that's really the spirit of the framework. It's that we're all working together on a vision for a better and healthier Stanislaus.
I guess that points to, we talk about the education component, most people wouldn't associate education with a healthy community. I mean, that doesn't seem to go hand in hand.
Interesting you should say that, but educational attainment is a major determinant of health outcomes.
Yes. You've told me that, but I think the general public says to themselves that, you know, they should eat healthy and they should exercise daily, but yet it is tied directly in with educational attainment. That's like number one, isn't it? Like the number one thing you can point to for a healthy community. So any other questions, comments? Again, great work. We appreciate every year when you come in here and give us a state, and those are laudable goals. You know, hopefully we can attain them. We'll do what we can to help you out.
So we would ask for acceptance of the report.
Okay. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept the report.
Motion?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you again. Okay. The next item on the agenda is B7, hearing continued from July 16, 2013, to consider the recommended decision of the Nuisance Abatement Hearing Board regarding Central Valley Recycler, CE number 12-0224 at 0 Bystrom Road, Modesto. And Tom.
Good evening, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, Chief Executive Officer Stan Risen. Congratulations.
Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It doesn't roll off the tongue just yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Mr. Doering, I was having a conversation with Mr. Terpstra earlier this evening, and we've come to a proposed solution to this matter. Staff recognizes that there's a certain level of intensity of use at the property, and what we're really at issue here is the appropriate intensity of use of the property. And CVR has agreed to apply for a use permit for the recycling. And what we would be looking at is the increased intensity from 2009 and the appropriate conditions for approval for that intensity. And what we'd be looking at would be limited to the issues related to the crusher and the processing of the larger pieces of scrap, like the cars, that kind of thing. That's what we'd be looking at. Noise mitigation measures related to those uses, and other related issues like the fugitive dust and the odors, that kind of thing. So what we would propose was to bring this matter back, or actually what we would do is continue this matter indefinitely, subject to staff bringing back an agreement between CVR and the county related to this processing of the use permit. As we are processing that use permit, we would suggest that we allow CVR to continue operating at the site. They have performed some measures related to reducing the noise impacts to the neighboring property, as well as dust issues and odor issues, and I'll let Tom talk to those issues right now.
But we're talking specifically about what they were doing in 2009, not what they're currently doing. Is that the intensive use of...
It's exactly backwards. What we would be looking at the for the use permit would be what they're doing now in 2012. What they were doing now in 2009, we agree that there's a certain level of intensity of use, certain level of processing that is appropriate for the site. What we need to do is come in with a use permit and determine what is the greatest extent that would be allowable there, and what conditions of approval would be related to that use.
One more point on the use permit, when they apply for a use permit, because I know that there's probably some audience members that are looking to comment today, but this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity when we're talking about noise and we're talking about fugitive dust or pollution, that they have an opportunity to comment, correct?
Exactly. The use permit would be presented to the Planning Commission, and property owners would be given notice, an opportunity to be heard at the Planning Commission, and if they didn't like the opinion, the decision of the Planning Commission, then that can be appealed to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. Mr. Terpstra?
Considering co-counsel here scratched that out on a legal pad a few minutes ago, I think he did a very admirable job of summarizing the intent of our agreement. It is to focus on particularly the crush and the crush activities and ways to mitigate noise, and certainly the measures we've undertaken so far as well as those we propose to undertake for noise, dust, and so forth. We feel we could go through a permit process for that limited purpose, recognizing there is an existing right to operate on the basis that we were operating, but looking certainly at the crush activities in particular. So I'm confident that we can scratch out an agreement in a little bit more composed setting, perhaps, over the next couple of weeks and bring it back to the board for your approval.
Okay. Comments from the board?
Mr. Chairman, I disagree that you have a right to operate. You know, you're operating a business, at least your clients are there. They're just not compatible with the neighborhood. I've been out there a number of times, and I don't see how you're going to mitigate that kind of noise and giant scrap pile that you've got out there and the dust. If you were really serious about doing something about this, you would have done this a year and a half ago, not after it's been to the nuisance abatement board. I would be opposed today of allowing this business to continue crushing cars when we go through the use permit process. This could have been done a year and a half ago. They've refused to do it. And up until recently, have never even talked to the neighborhood. I think the time has passed for that. And they continue their operations of cans and cardboard and all that other stuff. But crushing cars needs to stop right away.
Okay. I've got to clarify because I'm asking here. Are you agreeing to suspend the crush operation, the large end?
No.
No,
not in the interim period. We're going to, what I did offer was, and one of the things we talked about in our discussions today, was limiting the crush in the interim while we're working out the details of the use permit. Limiting the crush to between the hours of 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. as opposed to throughout the day, as has currently been the case. And so we would be comfortable making that part of an agreement. We think we can bring this entire agreement back to you in a little bit better form and would ask for that courtesy tonight to do that over the next 30 days or so and bring something back that you can take a look at and see whether you endorse.
Supervisor Monti.
I understand the emotion involved in this. I've been out there several times myself. I believe that parties are willing to sit down and discuss it. I think it's best that we bring it back in a week from now and get away from the emotion that we're in now, because with emotion you never solve anything. So I fully agree that if they are in agreement with that we should bring it back next week and have the staffs and all of us have more opportunity to become more familiar with the issue.
Is 1 week enough, because we're dark in 2 weeks? So that ends up at, by my count, September 10th, if it's not next week.
September 10th would be the...
September 10th is budget hearing.
I have a scheduled vacation I would be available on the 10th, but I have a scheduled vacation next week that I can't get out of. It's a family reunion. So I'd be happy to work on it the remainder of this week, and I can send my partner to the meeting in the event we do reach an agreement, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable with September 10th.
2 weeks?
10th? You good with the 10th?
I think this, yes, we're talking about 1 week, but under the circumstances, I think it's best that we have all concern there and proper representation on both sides, so I would have no difficulty with a 2 week extension.
Supervisor Withrow?
Yeah. I guess I just want to make sure I understand. So you'll continue with the crushing limited, and limited means you won't be doing it from 11 p.m. till 11?
I apologize if I wasn't clear. The current operating hours are between 8 and 4:30. What we would propose to do is to only operating the crushing activities between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So that from 8 to 11 and from 2 to 4:30 there would be no crush.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the times that appear to be most sensitive, and we think we can accommodate the crushing activities during those 3 hours, during that 3 hour time frame.
There are other measures that they have taken that I'm not sure.
There are other measures that they have taken that I'm not sure the public is aware of. Can you explain?
There's quite a number, actually. The pile has been moved a considerable distance to the west. There's already undertaken noise mitigation, and looking forward to implementing suggestions from the noise consultant, Mr. Ballard, who is in attendance tonight. I do want to point out that since I become involved and since John Anderson's office became involved in late last year, we immediately embarked upon a process to get a noise consultant on board that the county has worked with in the past and respects his work, and to come up with a set of mitigations. And we've already begun to implement those. A number of them have already been undertaken. And I think the situation has improved. And I think the situation will continue to improve. But before we can make a capital investment in some of the final mitigation measures, some of them which are very expensive, we're willing to do them, but we want to make sure that we can have a permit that we can all work with. And so it's a process. We're willing to embark on that process, and we're willing to limit our operation in the meantime. So provided we can come up with a workable framework to come back to you with, I think we're in good shape.
I'm still confused. Sorry. So in 2 weeks, we're going to come back with what?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. 3 weeks, we're going to come back with what?
I'll try to summarize it, and Tom can summarize it if I don't do it correctly. We would come back with an agreement that would temporarily resolve this appeal. The board would retain jurisdiction in the event we're not able to resolve it, but it would resolve the appeal by committing the applicant to apply for a conditional use permit for those activities that include the crushing of vehicles. That's the primary concern. And we would be looking at how to mitigate those crushing activities in light of where they were in 2009, where they are in 2013, and moving forward. Now, we're already convinced, based on the noise work we've done, that there is a package of improvements that can be done that would mitigate all noise impacts. But we'd be willing to look at the dust, we'd be looking at the odor, and all that sort of thing as well. As part of that CUP process, it would be an open and a public process.
So why do we have to come back in 3 weeks to do that, to commit you to the use permit process?
Well, from my understanding, we have to have something that resolves this proceeding, even if it's for a temporary time frame while we do the use permit. You don't want to leave this hanging open. Am I correct?
That's correct. That would be my conclusion as well. We want something to resolve this so that it's not hanging fire while we're processing the use permit. Okay.
And hasn't it been our request that we go through the use permit process? Has that been our...
Yes, we
have. That's the direction we've been asking or looking at. So I think staff and all feel that that's a proper procedure.
That is my understanding, Angela.
Yeah, that's my understanding. I just want to verify that.
Correct, Angela Freitas, Planning Director. Use permit is the land use application that we have discussed being the proper application.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
So, and I'm going to, again, just kind of reiterate what Vito said. So at that point, when you go through the use permit process, we'll come back in 3 weeks and come with the framework, and then and you go through the use permit process, and then the public will have their chance at that point as you go through the use permit process to have their day in court, basically.
That's correct. That's correct. So the motion that we're looking for here would be a motion to continue this matter for, is that 3 weeks, Mr. Dorn?
That would be in the board's discretion.
Okay.
3 weeks, I think, is on the table.
Okay. For a period at the board's discretion, and staff is to bring back a settlement agreement on this matter for approval at that time related to processing of a conditional use permit for the proposed use.
I make a motion we so do as directed.
What would be stated? What would be the time period you propose?
With the 3 week, apparently.
September 10th.
1 week, you can't make it.
Okay.
How is our department in Mrs. Freitas, would the 3 weeks be advantageous for the department also in working with them to do a more thorough?
I think during this period it's really going to be county council and the applicants, the business owner's representative that will be working on this. We will get involved once the use permit application is filed.
Okay. Well, you feel 3 weeks is an appropriate period of time for them to work?
I think we can get it.
Would that be workable? I will need to put up so many weeks and then it can't be done. I just want to make sure we have plenty of time to address it, because this not only addresses this particular issue, we could set this up so we will not have a repeat of this down the line, and I think that's important. If it takes 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks, why then let's get it done, and let's get it done in the proper manner.
Okay. So having summarized that, I also want to make the point that
people, folks show up here every week to comment. This is the second time, although we did let them comment last time. Need to make sure we get something done within 3 weeks and that we start the use permit process and that these folks have the ability to talk about what their concerns are. So, fair enough. If everyone's okay, I'm going to entertain a motion to continue this to the 10th, September 10th, which is a 9 o'clock and 9 a.m. meeting, and get something done by then. So, do you need a motion to continue?
I thought you just made it.
No, I'm just summarizing for...
That's fine. I'll make a motion if that's what you need.
Supervisor Monteith with that motion. Second.
I'll second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on, we have no Department of Planning and Community Development. We have nothing for County Council, no scheduled matters. Yes, ma'am.
I really am in protest of this. I don't feel that this has been fully looked at from the vantage point of all of the community members. You can go out there any day of the week for a couple of hours, a few minutes, and that's all that you see. This morning, they were operating at 6:15 in the morning. So you're going to tell me that they're going to keep their hours of operation of crushing vehicles between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.? They have had one year to act in good faith. They could have done something. What you are now doing is putting the cart before the horse. They already walked into your offices and acted not in good faith, not in complete transparency, but with the intent of operating the business, knowing full well what they were going to do. Did they ever take the opportunity to come to the community, to come to the board, and say, this is our intent? It is a money-making proposition, and I don't disregard that at all. What they were doing in the past, 4 years ago, which was not crushing vehicles, but accepting some scrap metal and doing CRV recycling, which is a very acceptable and respectable business. But what they are currently doing and have been doing for the last 3 years has impacted our community to the fact that we cannot enjoy our homes. Now, I know some people have written in the paper that, oh, well, who cares about the drug addicts and the Mexicans and the whatever, the uneducated people who live in their homes. I got news for them. Many of us are very highly educated, college educated. We have full-time jobs. But we also have family members who reside in that community and who have the due process and inalienable right to enjoy their homes. So you're going to tell me that you're going to take everything and you're going to let this advice council here mitigate and litigate an agreement without listening to the public and without listening to the community? I'm sorry. I'm in very much disagreement. And honestly, I am appalled. Absolutely appalled because you, Mr. O'Brien, you reside on the San Joaquin Valley Air Board, which we have made several complaints to. And one of the companies who is directly next to them, which is Rocha Trucking, anytime there was a complaint, they were like this on taking care of it. On the other hand, Central Valley Recycling has done literally nothing. And you, Mr. Monty.
Yes.
You have been out there a few times. You don't live there.
I did.
And excuse me. You don't live there. You don't know what it's like to be there day in and day out.
I didn't claim that. I said I've been there several times. I'm very sure.
Hold on. One at a time. Supervisor Monteith.
I just wanted to make sure that I realized and I stated that being out there several times doesn't mean I live there. But I just wanted to state that I had been there several times.
Correct.
But that didn't qualify me to the same as living there. It's just that I had not ignored the situation and gone out to try to get some additional information on it. And that's merely why I stated that.
How about this? Did you knock on any doors and talk to any people in the community? Did you? Did anybody on this board, county council, or anyone involved in this, did anybody knock on any doors and say, excuse me, how you doing today? I'm here from the county. I'd like to know what you think about this business that is across the street operating from you 6 days a week. And that's 6 days a week now, not what it was 4 years ago. Did anyone take the time to honestly speak to any of the community members out there? I know Mr. DeMartini has, because he came to my home very graciously, he and Raul Mendez.
Well,
but I don't believe anyone else took that time to do that. How dare you make a decision that's going to adversely affect our community without knowing precisely how it's going to continue to affect us now and in the future, because it has also affected our property values. And I'm not going to say any more, because if I do, I will be very angry. But I want you to have that food for thought.
Thank you very much for your comments. Okay, we're moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the California Wildlife Conservation Board notifying the county that they will consider the allocation of a grant for the Dos Rios Riopen Restoration Project at their September 4, 2013 meeting.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources, the Ag Commissioner, and Sealer of Weights and Measures, the Department of Planning and Community Development, and the Department of Public Works.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor DeMartini.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just would like to state again that this Thursday is the Westside Healthcare Task Force Biggest Loser Contest, contest number 5, and is not just a contest between the cities of Newman, Patterson, and Gustine, but also it's our health summit, and it's our healthy lifestyle summit there in Newman, how to live better and eat better for a better life. So that if anybody's interested in coming to the Biggest Loser Contest and Health Summit, it begins at 11:30 on Thursday at the Westside Theater in Newman.
Can anyone get in on the competition?
If you can put together a team of 10 people, you can get on. But it's not an individual effort, it's a team effort.
What happens if your team gains weight?
That's very embarrassing. That's never happened. The Ag Commissioner comes out and gives a certified weight for the 10 people, and 8 weeks later we weigh out in Patterson, and we've never had a team ever gain weight, and we've had some that have lost considerably more than others.
Yeah, that is great. Thank you very much. Any other Board of Supervisors reports? Okay, if not, Legislative, Fiscal, and Management report. CEO Risen.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank you, Board, for the opportunity to serve as your interim, and look forward to it, and excited about the opportunity. Just a couple things real quick of interest perhaps at the state level. We like to use the design-build concept in doing construction projects. We've especially been looking forward to doing it on our jail construction project coming up. And good news, AB 195, sponsored by Assemblymember Hall, was signed by the governor this past Monday, that extends the design-build concept through July 1st of 2016. So we're happy to see that. The second thing, there tends to be a lot of discussion right now up at the state level on water bond for 2014. It was originally targeted for the ballot in 2010 and has been postponed twice. But it appears to be some pretty serious discussions, although they're trying to shrink down the dollar amount from the initial $11.1 billion. So they have till next summer to get this finalized. And I know water is an important priority to this board, so I thought I'd let you know that. And outside that, no other report.
There's nothing else for the good of the order. This meeting is adjourned.